You know, here on the Glass Cannon Network, we try to create drama, a dramatic experience for the audience. Let me correct myself. We try and fail to create a dramatic experience for the audience most of the time. And I was on, and a lot of it, like, our styles most tend towards the cinematic rather than the literary in our descriptions and the way we envision the things going on, the way we try to present it for the audience. And I was on a new website today, or last week, actually, that's called twitter.com. And I saw one of the birds on there tweeted out a question that I thought was pretty interesting. What was the most visceral moment that you've experienced in a movie theater? And I thought, that's an interesting way to kill some time at the top of the next episode. So I want to ask you guys that question. What's the most visceral, like, the moment in the theater that moved you the most, like, gave you the most, like, adrenaline? What was it?
And just to clarify, in the movie theater, not just a movie.
Not at home, in the movie theater. And not a porno theater, like a regular theater.
Well, that knocks out half of my options.
So I'll go first. I've got several that I think of. Like, I was like, is it Braveheart? Is it like eighth grade Nick watching Braveheart? But I think I'm going to go with a movie that not many people ever talk about. Maybe because it's not any good. I haven't seen it since this time I saw it. But Nell, the movie Nell.
Sure. I've seen that.
Jodie Foster, Liam Neeson. And I remember seeing that in the theater and it messing me up. And like, there's a point in the movie where she, this woods woman, Jodie Foster, like runs in this room and bangs into a plate glass window. And I just remember like, like several points that just really nailed me. And again, this is like probably freshman year, sophomore year of high school. And just like, I wanted to feel things and I wanted to see the, and this one, it got me.
Wow. That is an unexpected answer. And I appreciate it. Joe, you looked like you had an answer for this. What was your moment?
No, I'll pass for the moment. I'm still trying to think. Visceral reaction in a movie. Well, I remember leaving, it wasn't so much in the theater as much, but walking out of Usual Suspects. I still remember just like talking with multiple strangers in the parking lot for like 25 minutes. Like, what just happened? Like, it was just like the most incredible thing. I was in high school. I came out and we were just blown away. So I remember being, this, my world was turned upside down. And I felt a very similar feeling with The Matrix as well. When I walked out of the theater, I was like, nothing is what I believe it is in the world. Like,
There are some of those movies that just, after you see them, it's just like movies, they change movies. It's like you can like measure time cinematically from before, like Matrix and after Matrix. Before Usual Suspects, after Usual Suspects. Like, they change the way people make movies. And it's so great to be there in that moment to see that. Troy, do you have an answer?
Yeah, you know, between my sophomore and junior year of college, I came to New York to do a program at Circle in the Square Theater School. I did like an acting program. Mm-hmm. And I did typical LaValle fashion. I had no money. I don't know what I was doing out here. I couldn't pay my rent or anything. But at one point, somebody had an extra ticket to Saving Private Ryan the day it came out.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. I mean, I was doing nothing. I couldn't even eat. I didn't have any money. I just was going to the acting program. I had to walk from like 27th and Lex to 54th and Broadway every day because I couldn't afford the subway and back in the rain sometimes. And so when somebody said, here's a free ticket to a movie, I was like, oh, it's something to do. Maybe someone will buy me some
get me out of the rain for 2 hours.
So, Friday night.
This was out of this driving rain.
Mid-July. It was mid-July, so it was, you know, so hot out, but cool in the movie theater. And I remember
best time.
And I haven't seen that movie since. I haven't seen Saving Private Ryan since the day it came out. And I just remember coming out of there and being like, I don't think there's ever been a movie made quite like that before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now it's been copied a million times. But
I agree. I had very intense reactions to that. That's a good one. I think that I watched it maybe two more times ever. And both times I skipped the beginning.
Yeah.
The storming of the beach, because that was so intense in the theater that I never wanted to relive that again.
And it hits. It's something that's been copied a lot since then, but there's nothing that matches that experience of seeing that for the first time. Really, I felt like it was the first time in a movie where people got some kind of a hint as to what war was actually like who hadn't experienced it themselves. And I remember just being in a state of shock after we got out. I went with Nick Shelton and his college roommate, Patrick, and we drove home and we didn't say a word the entire time. We were just gobsmacked. What about you, Matthew? You've seen a movie or two in your day.
I have. I'm trying to think of stuff I saw in the theater first and then I had that reaction too. Because I'm a bit younger than the rest of you.
There we go.
That's true. Rub it in, why don't you?
I mean, I remember
that to your hair.
Well, now I'm just
don't worry, Matthew, you can dance on his grave and still enjoy several good years after that.
I mean, I remember having a really, really like a visceral response kind of after the movie to Brokeback, like, because it's such a tense movie and it's such like a tightly wound character, and like, and then you get out of it and you're just kind of like, so I remember having, I remember having that reaction very strongly.
That is a very intense movie and it's an intense character study. Yeah. That was, and that one I have not gone back to. I think for me,
I haven't either, but
no, go ahead.
I haven't either, though. I recently went back and read the screenplay and the short story because it's supposed to be like one of the great adaptations. And it really it is a extremely faithful adaptation, and it's really, really cool. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
What about you, Skid?
Well, for me, you ask. Well, I don't know. I haven't given much thought.
No one ever asked me these questions.
Out of time. All right, let's get into the AP.
We have to move on. Well, there's two that I usually think about. One was seeing Aliens in 1986 in the theater for the first time. And it was one of my favorite movie-going experiences of my entire life, maybe my favorite. And I was there with my friends. I was in eighth grade. I was with my friends John Bell and Edis Allen. And my mom took us and we sat way up front at the Continental Theater in Denver. And every time there was an explosion and the screen would light up, we'd turn around and look at everyone's faces, just like, oh, and it was so great. And then we came home and played Nintendo Wrestling until dawn. But the moment exactly that was, which was a visceral in itself. But the moment especially that really got to me was the load lifter scene. I just remember when those doors go up and you see Ripley standing in this machine. I've never come close to experiencing anything like that in a movie since, any feeling like that. Because that whole movie is such an insane roller coaster ride. And again, something that's been copied like multiple times since, but like it was fresh out of the oven at that point. And you know, when we're kids and just seeing it, I'm always chasing that high. Like for the rest of my life, I'll be chasing the high of that moment.
Like as an adult, the only one that has come close to that with me, and it's gonna sound like I'm shilling, but Infinity War had Avengers Infinity
Absolutely,
War.
Yeah.
I had moments like in Wakanda and like a couple of moments where like, like jumping out of my chair. Like,
I remember that now. Like, when Thor comes in to the in Wakanda and I was just like, got you fired.
When Black
up.
Panther and when Black Panther and Captain America are leading the charge out across the it's just so many awesome, crazy.
Thing I was saying to somebody, it was like, if you could use one F-bomb in the entire Marvel universe, it should have been at that moment when Thor shows up and Bruce Banner is in the Hulkbuster armor And he says, you guys are so screwed now. If he had said, you guys are so fucked now, I would have jumped out of my seat and my heart would have exploded. It would have been the greatest moment of my life if he had done that. I understand why they didn't, but it would have been great.
Sorry, Joe, you guys are fucked.
Yeah, so fucked. I just wanted to add one more thing while we're on the topic, because this is something I've thought about a lot. And I was listening to actually sports talk radio. It was kind of unrelated, but somebody brought this up, that somebody wrote a book about this recently. And it's something that I have thought about a lot. And it has to do with the Matrix. And you said, you know, you walk out of that theater and you're like, movies were not like that before. And now, like, things have changed, like something has changed. Well, the thing is, that happened a lot that year. That year was one of the most
99.
Yeah, it was one of the most incredible years of movies. And I'm just going to give you a few movies that were, I think, groundbreaking that came out in that year. The Matrix, Fight Club, The Sixth Sense was also that year.
Oh, yeah. Being John Malkovich.
Being John Malkovich, American Beauty.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, like, these were all things that, like, topics people weren't exactly talking about, and also ways of shooting films with Being John Malkovich that, like, were not done. I think that South Park was incredible.
I
loved that movie. And, like, hysterical musical was so, like, dark and sad. The satire was incredible. Same thing with Election. Election was that year too. Yeah, I loved that movie.
Yeah.
So it's just
Three Kings, an underrated movie, really underrated movie. Three Kings.
Oh, I love Three Kings.
Three Kings.
Another great, like, this is what that war was really like kind of movie. You know what I mean?
First time, like, getting a real sense of it. Yeah.
Blair Witch Project was that year.
Yeah.
Toy Story 2, Notting Hill.
Yep. The Insider, which I loved, tobacco really whistleblower movie with Russell Crowe and Al Pacino.
Yep.
So anyway,
just Phantom Menace.
Wow. Yeah. What, this is a year.
Man on the Moon. Man on the Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. American Pie. Atlas Prickle, little college comedy in there. Groundbreaking college comedy.
Wait, what about the classic rom-com where Val Kilmer plays a blind man who regains his sight and falls in love with Mira Sorvino at first sight?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Boy.
Talk about groundbreaking.
Oh, boy.
They don't make them like that anymore.
They sure don't. But yeah, before we move on, the other one that that always springs to mind, and Nick, you'll remember this, was the Marvel screening of X-Men 2. The moment...
Oh my God.
The moment, when Wolverine pops his claws and murders a man.
Yes!
You should have been there in that room, because we were at the Marvel screenings were at the Ziegfeld on 54th back then.
Oh my God.
And, like, that was the moment where a bunch of nerds in the comic book industry and their hangers-on, like me, realized that the movies finally got them. They finally got a character and were able to have balls enough to bring it to the screen. And that explosion, that orgasmic, tantric explosion of joy that came out of that theater. I said we weren't going to talk about porno theaters, but I made an exception.
You want to shoot me? Shoot me.
So good.
I'll never forget it. It was it was so fucking awesome.
I don't remember that moment, but I saw it in Grauman's Chinese Theater in L.A., and I remember walking out and being like, that's the best superhero movie I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember any of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible. You got to rewatch it. It's still incredible. So good. It's
still a really good movie.
I mean, it's during that scene when he's running with the closet. He gets hit with the tranquilizer. And you saw it drop so many people, and he gets hit with it. It just does nothing. It's like they don't even mention it. He just gets hit with it, and he just keeps going. It's so awesome. Good. Little subtle things like that are just great.
I got to watch that again. That was a good movie. Well, speaking of visceral moments, we're about to experience a few in this latest episode of Return of the... What is it?
It's called Legacy of the Ancients.
Legacy of the Ancients. Legacy of the Ancients.
There we go.
Return of the Ancients.
So the last we left our heroes, you guys had a knockdown, drag-out fight with some goblin druid and its pet.
Mm-hmm.
And you were entangled. The thorns were entangling you, and it was difficult. It was It was tragic, and you barely made it out alive. So you decided to rest, and you found a safe spot in the briars, and Lord Northwood was awoken by a hand shaking him on his chest, and a voice said, it's me, Alfie, right? Something like that.
Yes.
Anyway, that's who it was. And it's your nephew. So this youth is standing over you, shaking you awake.
Alfie, is that you?
Yeah, just said it was me. It's me, Alfie. Is your vision gone? Hello? How's your hearing?
Not quite yet.
Uncle Binky!
Shut up. What are you doing here?
Well, Mother said that, you know, she said she was worried that I was falling in with the wrong crowd, whatever, like she would know. And she was like, oh, you're getting into trouble, Alfie, like, blah, like, I'm so sick of worrying about you, blah, blah, blah. You know, she gets, right? So she said, like, you got to go out. Let's say, I'm sending you off to train with your uncle. And so pledge your service to him so that, you know, he can teach you discipline or fuck all. And, so I tracked you down. I went into Sandy Knob, and they said you came up this way. And so you weren't terribly difficult to find, and here I am. So here I am pledging myself to your fucking service, whatever.
Oh, no.
Your mother wants you to pledge your service to me?
Yeah, she said, I'll never forget it. She said, Alfie, you pledge your service to your deadbeat uncle or you're cut off. It's like, fuck, fine.
Fine. She was always so generous to me.
Yeah.
Are the others awake, or they're
probably waking up now.
Are the others awake, or are we?
Yeah. So you guys are waking up, and you're seeing this hulking, bedraggled youth standing over your companion.
Everyone, this is my nephew, Alfie. My beloved sister Cordelia has sent him to me to pledge his service and train and learn discipline. Isn't that exciting?
Discipline is very exciting.
Whoa! Why are you traveling with the devil man?
Oh, yes, it's quite interesting. Foley, would you like to explain?
Well, first of all, Alfie, I'd like to say it's a pleasure to meet you.
He's looking up at him, this little gnome, this like hair, crazy, first thing in the morning, after sleeping on the ground.
The name's Fafel Fenforian, and I've been traveling with your uncle here for a few days. You couldn't learn from anybody better, I'll tell you that much.
Says, all right.
And this here's Thorn Skullrender.
Yeah, so while he's talking to him, Thorn's been kind of like walking around Alfie, kind of like sizing him up, like what the hell? So you came from Sandpoint? From where? Where are you from, Alfie?
Yeah, came
nice
from.
Nice to meet you. I'm Thorn, by the way.
Thorn? What?
Yeah, Thorn Skullrender. Pleasure to meet you, friend.
Skullrender? Friend. Well, that's an extreme name, isn't it? Uncle Binky, could you remind me where I'm from originally, please?
Yes, one moment. I must consult my notes.
Well, anyway, I came from there. I grew up there. And and mother, she like kicked me out. And then, I went to Sandy Hill. And they said, whatever. And so, so here I am.
And they pointed you here.
Well, roughly, I had to do a little bit of reconnoitering, a little bit of orienteering. But I did eventually find you.
I must say, I'm very impressed that you found the goblin paths. You found the right way through this labyrinthine, tiny, strange place. But any family member of Binky's is a friend of mine. And she shakes,
I would be a bit more careful. There are some Burgoynes that are quite unsavory. And quite profligate.
Oh, what?
They sound pretty nice, too, then, by the sound of it, then.
Alfie is the son of my dear sister, Cordelia, who, in our youth, we used to have a little competition to see who was the bigger black sheep of the family, you see. And then she won. She married an elf and ran off into the River Kingdoms.
Yeah, he does have pointy ears. He has a half elf.
No, so I didn't. Thor did not notice that before. Thor is like, no kidding.
It was quite the scandal. Hey, I was very jealous of her.
She pulls her
she pulls her
hair
headphones
back,
off.
She pulls her headphones off. She pulls her hair back off her ear like, I am also a half elf.
Whoa, you're blowing my mind. I've literally never run into another half elf before, so wow.
The last one I met, I killed for a while with an axe in the back of his head because he tried to kill all of us. He put your uncle down, he put Foley down. It was a tough situation, so I hope to have a very different experience with you, Alfie.
Oh, yeah? Why? Uncle Alfie, Uncle Binky, sorry, why is your friend threatening me? Straight
off the bat,
I didn't do nothing to her. She's saying, stick an axe in your brains.
No, no, he was referring to a different person, Alfie. Try to keep up. He doesn't...
Oh,
she
I
doesn't
see.
Have any... That half-elf was murderous in trying to kill everyone in the town.
Right, Thorn, so different from me in what way?
Are you trying to kill everyone in Sandpoint?
No, I'm totally indifferent to that town, but
then we're fine.
Okay, then cool. We're cool then. What's your name again?
Just don't do anything, Thorn. Thorn Skullrunner. Just, I'm sure you won't do anything to deserve an axe in the back of the head, but just know, if you need it, I'm here.
All right, well,
Northwood,
thanks, I guess.
And this is, of course, Rap City Kincaid.
Wait, the devil's talking to me. What's he saying?
So he's not even looking at Alfie, he's looking at Northwood, and he just goes, Northwood! His voice, like, shaking in the trees.
How can I help you?
It is taking every ounce of my strength to not strangle this boy to death in front of you.
What?
This is a liability. What is happening here?
Well, Avexius, you have just discovered the secret to dealing with teenagers. You must restrain yourself at all times because they will try with all of their might to make you want to kill them.
I have dealt with the most treacherous demons of the underworld. Never have I encountered something I wanted to destroy as much as this boy.
You hear that, Alfie? The Lord Avexius thinks so highly of you.
Yeah, I'm flattered and terrified.
Perhaps your fear will keep you silent. What are we doing with this boy?
He's just thinking we're standing in the shadow of this. We're about to go into something awful here, and we need to be tight and organized.
What kind of weapon does he have on his person?
He has, switching to his character sheet,
a rusty dagger.
He has a cold iron short sword and a gold-plated dagger.
Elfie, you proficient with that sword at your hip?
Oh, yeah, no. I can totally use it. And he, like, whips it out, and he just starts hacking at the briars, and it's just like, look at this! Yeah? Just imagine I was doing this to, you know, like a hobgoblin or whatever. I could do it.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, boy. Those briars don't fight back. We don't have
They've
to
They've got
like
needles,
you.
Though.
That's true. We don't have to like you. Not all of us will. But we're about to go to battle. Are you in or are you out?
I suppose.
That's a good visual. Teenager like slink, just like drop his shoulders. Yes. Whatever.
I must point out, Alfie, that we are about to go into immense danger, and I'm not sure your mother quite expected this when she sent you to pledge your service to me. So, if you would like, and you're feeling a bit afraid, you're welcome to go back to Sandpoint and wait for me there.
Well, it's up to you, Binky. I mean, it's Uncle Binky. I mean, it is your...
Yes, it's Uncle Binky to you.
Third level boon. So, it's if you want me to leave, I can leave. I mean, I'm more than happy to go back to Sandy Bridges and just wait. But but, you know, if Mother finds out I'm doing something that you don't want me to do, then she'll cut me off. And I'll have to live the rest of my life like a bloody beggar.
Inspiring words, Alfie. Well, in that case, I shall assign you as my aide-de-camp. And you shall assist me in our combat and non-combat endeavors. Do you think you can handle that?
Yes, Uncle Binky, yes, I can handle all the whatever shit work that you're planning on having me do, yes.
Well, yes, sometimes you may have to hand me things, that might happen. Sometimes you might have to fetch me coffee or make or prepare the provisions for the party and that sort of thing. But you also have to defend yourself in battle, and remember, teamwork is what makes the dream work, as they say.
Yeah, I know the family slogan, Uncle Binky, but all right. I hereby pledge myself to your service for here and forever. Amen. There, you happy? There. Let's go.
Delighted. Well, isn't that just a wonderful turn of events? I didn't expect to have an aide-de-camp, even though I leveled up and everything, but this is just wonderful.
It is pretty delightful. I mean, do we all get to use the boy for our errands and such?
Nope, that would be highly immoral.
The boy will make an excellent distraction for the 4 to 5 minutes that he lives.
What?
That is a service you might have to provide, Alfie. Provide a distraction.
Let us use him wisely. He won't be alive for long.
Hold on a minute. This is not family business. This is me getting killed. Uncle Binky, stop the devil from talking that way about me.
Listen, Alfie, as much as I would like to train you and be there to defend you, you must learn to defend yourself.
Fine, right, whatever. I will defend my. I pledge to defend myself and not rely on Uncle Binky to save me from the devil, who lives with us.
He's not here all the time, but he's here when things get hairy.
Okay, all right. Well, whatever. I'll do my best, whatever.
Speaking of distractions and hairy, have we decided how we're going to infiltrate the goblin encampment?
Send the kid.
Yes.
Alfie, your first assignment is here.
Take this multicolored flag and run across that bridge.
Well, I mean, I presume we'll go back to the bridge and scout and see if they've done any better in setting up guards to overlook it, because we didn't see any last time, and so I think we're going to make just a go of it and just head across into our certain death.
Well, can I make a request, then, if we have no better ideas?
Indeed.
Right now, we are at a disadvantage because we do not know what to expect. Perhaps the Lord Voltar would not mind coming down from the heavens, descending from the heavens, and doing a flyby around and seeing if he notices any other way in.
That's brilliant.
That's brilliant, but he'd be the only one who knows the information. It's not exactly as if he could speak to me.
You do not speak with your eager familiar?
It's hard to explain. It's not something where I can just send him as a scout ahead and he tells me details what he sees inside. I just sort of know things about him. It's hard to explain. It's new to me. I don't understand it.
Ooh. What about... Do you have any other friends up there that do speak the common tongue?
No, I don't. Problems, I don't speak their language. That's the problem. But not exactly the smartest one about. I think you know that.
Do we know there are guards looking over that bridge?
There didn't seem to be last night when we looked. Before we rested, there didn't seem to be. That's why we considered... going across last night, but I think we were a little bit smarter and rested and got ourselves ready to go, because we were all out of spells.
Yeah, we got any potions or scrolls of anything that make us invisible?
Negative. Not for
no,
me, at least.
None of that. Well, I think the first step is just getting up there and taking a look over the bridge, scouting it out, see if there's any movement on the walls, see if anybody's watching. Give us some time. Man. If you don't see anything for a while, I think we'll be clear.
And maybe we'll just have one of us stealth. See if we make it across, gain better information, and send the whole group. If everything goes to shit, we just run and hope for the best.
I will cross the bridge and knock on the front door whenever you are ready. She's fucking hulking next to you.
Oh, yes, that sounds like an excellent idea, because you can't die. Exactly.
No, I cannot. I am immortal. But if I do, or at least if I am banished, you will be in a very bad way. If all you have is this runt,
looking at Alfie,
to protect you.
What'd you call me?
So yeah, look, let's just go up near there, get a perch, yep, and watch for like an hour or two. You know what I mean? Somebody right just now. Watch, see if you see any movement at all. I'm sure we'll see nothing, but let's just try it to see if there are even like parapets or anything that, you know, where they can walk the walls and look over the bridge. I don't see anything on the map that suggests that.
If we watch for an hour and we don't see anything, I think we could just walk across.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We just walk across.
All right.
We don't see a changing of a guard or someone go in or out of the door or anything like that.
Great. Let's do that.
Skid, do you think we can get close enough to just look at the front of this castle and not be seen? Is there a place where we can just look from afar?
I think you actually, if you could, if you wanted to come to, there's like a sort of an artificial wall on the sort of the western side, like right by where the refugees were.
I see.
So
that,
you could kind of like pick apart an opening to look through if you wanted to do that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay. So you guys crawl through, stoop your way through this maze again, and you end up on at the edge of this cliff, peering through a aperture in these branches. And yeah, you're looking at this old stockade, and yeah, waves are just crashing below. It's even hard to like hear each other over the din the closer you get to the water. And you watch for a while. And
Rhapsody, what do your bird eyes tell you?
Let me see what they see.
Oh, man. Natty 19.
Ooh, that's a good time for that.
That's a 33 perception.
Okay, so at one point, Rhapsody, you see on the western tower, you see something get tossed over the side. And it's like a watchtower with a little wall, and you don't see anyone in it, but you see like boom, like something get like tossed over the side and land in the bushes below.
Nothing I make out. Like, did it look like anything? A bag, a person?
No, it was something.
Small chihuahua.
One great axe.
Was it a plus one great axe skin?
It didn't look metal.
You rolled a 33. I mean, you can tell us if it's plus one. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It was very, very small. It was like something very small. And then you spot in the other wall for a moment, a head pops up in the eastern tower. You see a head pop up over the parapet, a goblin head.
And when you say the eastern tower, that's not the one that the bridge ends, but the one way on the east, actually, right?
No, there's only two towers. There's one on the western corner, one on the eastern corner. So, yeah,
you
see
this
head.
Ping them? I just want to make sure we're talking the same language.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on the there. So you see a head, like, become visible for a second and just start, like, shouting. It's like, ah, 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 ah. But it's... Even with that perception roll, it's hard to make out what it's saying over the waves that far away. And then it just goes back down.
Maybe I got really good climb.
Nope.
Nope.
No, none of us. Maybe Averxius.
Averxius is probably the best.
Is there a class that can fucking climb? Nobody can climb. Because your best fighters are wearing awesome armor. And so they can, I guess rogues.
Rogues and ninjas.
Ninjas are good.
Yeah, we don't have any of that. I was going to say, like, send somebody over there so I can break that dude's neck, climb up. Rhapsody will relay that information. Somebody threw something over. It was too far away to see, and a little head popped up. But beyond that, no movement whatsoever.
And then he'll also say, like, the only thing I saw was a goblin head. We could take them. I'm sure they got other things back there, but maybe their front lines are just more meat puppets.
Hmm.
So you advise frontal assault. Do you, Rhapsody?
I do. We can wait a little longer, see if anything changes, but I think a frontal assault might be good. Cross that bridge, get our backs against that eastern tower so that if anything does look over, it won't see us. Obviously, we want to watch out if they got murder holes, they can drop some hot oil on us or something. But get out of their view, and I'll use my keen skills to listen.
If the bridge is not being watched, the waves will cover the sound of our assault, at least. Yes. We have that advantage.
So yeah, I say let's finish out the hour, just surveilling and get a sense if there's any kind of movement, and then we'll just walk straight across the bridge. Highest AC in the front.
Okay. So guys, that's like 15 minutes in that you see both those things happen. And then after about another 25 minutes, you see this group of four goblins and four goblin dogs come around from the western side of the stockade. They come like down this path and become visible as they round the corner. And the goblin dogs are jumping around and kind of shrieking and yapping. And the goblins are talking to each other. And then at one point, one of the goblins spots a seagull kind of perched on the edge of the cliff. And he shushes his friends. And he kind of gets low and stalks over to the seagull and grabs him. Grabs the seagull as it flaps madly trying to get away. And he tucks it under his arm. And you see them all start laughing. And he, the one who caught it, like gestures back towards the way they came. And they all, the whole group, moves back around to the rear of the stockade. And that's, and they disappear from view.
Huh. All right, so now we've been there about 40 minutes. We saw a head pop up. And we saw this group of mangy losers.
Idiots.
All right.
So yeah, after an hour
but
passes, and that's the last thing you see.
All right.
Let's cross the bridge then,
let's move.
Yeah. All right, let's move.
All right.
Alfie, stick with me.
Fine.
And he does.
Averxius, would you mind taking the vanguard?
Gladly, my lord.
I'll be behind you, Biggie.
Well, let Alfie be behind me because we grant each other certain abilities if we're adjacent.
I'll be in front of you, Biggie.
All right, so before we get up there and are visible, Foley is going to cast Mage Armor on Averxius. Right before we come around that corner there.
Okay.
Thorn.
And then, okay. Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
And right when we're about to go, I think Thorn is going to cast Heightened Awareness on herself. As we head into there.
Ooh.
So that is one of her new spells that she chose.
Oh, nice.
With a leveling up.
Nick?
I love that spell. It's so cool. I've obviously never had it before. But I'm looking forward to it. It's just so cool.
All right, so Averxius the Red is going to go up in front of Northwood, and you know what? Foley will actually stay behind Northwood and Alfie and next to,
And once we
just
make,
behind Northwood.
And once we make our break, Skid, then we are no longer squeezing, right?
Yeah, once you emerge onto the edge of the cliff where the bridge is, you're no longer squeezing.
All right, Averxius is going to do one last perception just before. He's actually going to look at the bridge, too.
Okay. So is Thorn.
That is not good. That's a 10 perception.
17 for Lord Northwood.
Same with Thorn, 17.
Okay.
Let me just roll Alfie.
Are you ready for some perception here?
Oh, yes, please.
Nat 2.
Ooh.
16. I guess I got distracted. Just maybe I'm feeling a little wary about this kid and I'm keeping a second eye on him.
Hey, that's his job. He's just doing his job, distracting.
All right, Averxius will step out onto the bridge. Oh, hearing no protestations.
Wait, what do I get? What do I see with my 17? It's good.
So you see, all of you except for Averxius notice that this bridge appears to be rigged so that it could... it looks like there's a release, like a knot release, that if someone is on the other side or on this side, they could pull a rope and the bridge would collapse into the ocean.
Mm. We have to go fast.
Can we run? Can we just run across the bridge?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
But it might collapse.
If there's someone on either side, they can pull a rope.
All right, well, just look at the distance. Make sure they don't have somebody in place.
Yeah, well, then do it. Yeah, so then, since that was the perception check, and Northwood mentioned that, Averxius is going to do another perception in the bushes at the other side of the bridge, just to see if he sees any goblins hunkering down at the, you know, with a rope in their hand in the bushes.
Ooh, okay. Alfie rolled a natural 18.
23. Ooh,
25 for Alfie.
Whoa.
Good job, Alfie. 23 for Thorne, too.
Okay. So none of you see anything, any movement, any shadows, anything in the bushes or anywhere on the far shore.
Okay, then as a full round action, Averxius will run across the bridge.
Okay.
We should all go, right?
Yeah.
Everyone goes.
Yeah. Okay. Just go.
All right. So Averxius. Lord Northwood. Okay, the minute Alfie steps onto the bridge.
Oh, God.
You hear this horrible splitting sound, and the bridge starts to give way on its own.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So
we didn't
right
do an engineering check.
Thorne gets onto the. Thorne or Rhapsody get onto the bridge. So it's. Yeah, you're not on there yet, Rhapsody. So.
All right,
well, Rhapsody was going to go in front of me.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I should have been.
Okay.
Couldn't find him on the map.
I couldn't find myself then, either.
Okay, so
Lord Northwood stepped on.
Yeah, so, or... Oh, actually, yeah, since... Okay, fully small. So, yeah, the minute Alfie gets onto the bridge, creak, snap, and the, bro,
oh,
the
no.
bridge breaks. Everybody roll
oh,
a reflex
God.
Save.
Oh,
no, that's not a good one. Not good,
oh,
too.
Oh, no.
Ugh.
All right, let's see. Ooh, that's good.
Okay. Lord Northwood got a 16.
16?
Okay. And Alfie got a 13.
Okay, all right.
20 for Rhapsody.
All right, and Averxius?
18 for Averxius, 19 for Foley.
Oh,
Natty 16 and Natty 18. So freaking lucky.
Okay, so Alfie, he made his save, and he is close enough to the edge of the bridge that he's able to jump back just in time before it collapses. The rest of you manage. You have just enough time. You're able to grab one of the rope handles, one of the rope railings as it falls. But, boom, and you fly through the air, and your body slam into the side of the cliff as the bridge collapses. And you're hanging there.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Yep. Oh, shoot.
So we're just hanging there?
Do we take any damage from the... the smash into the wall or no?
No, you're okay. It gives you enough of a cushion and a bracing that it hurts. It maybe knocks the wind out of you, maybe Averxius and Rhapsody, but you're okay, though, and you're just hanging there over the water.
Oh, my God.
Is everyone
God.
All right?
Yes. Foley!
Averxius screams down.
I'm right here! I'm holding on!
He's looking down.
But my fingers are giving way!
No.
Averxius will immediately attempt to climb down the rope to Foley. Like, is that possible?
Okay. Actually, Averxius, you're at towards the bottom. You're actually almost... Your feet are almost dangling in the surf where you are.
Oh, we fell towards where we were coming from.
Yeah. Oh, no. Sorry. Yeah. No, that's my mistake. So you guys actually, right. You fell towards the far side. So yeah, Vorixius, you're at the top.
No.
And Foley is towards the rear. You're about 30 feet over the water.
So can he climb down to Foley?
You can. That's okay. A DC, so, it's DC 5. So yeah.
Yeah, it should be easy. Yeah, so 24. So because it's a rope braced against a wall, which is like the easiest climb pretty much that there is.
Right.
So, yeah, he will come down the rope toward Foley and get Foley to climb onto him, basically. Just
okay.
So, you know, he just grabs him and puts him onto his back. It's once just like, hold on.
Okay.
And once he passes, Lord Northwood will start climbing up.
Okay. Can you make a DC 5 automatically?
Nope, but I did roll a 5, so...
Okay.
Is that acceptable?
Yeah, so you're just barely able to haul yourself up with heavy armor.
And then the Vorixius will go back up with Foley on his back.
Okay.
And get to the top next to Northwood.
Okay, you both make it. Rhapsody, are you able to get up there automatically?
No.
Rhapsody, do you need help?
Yeah. Might as well be safe.
Stay where you are.
All right.
Make no moves. No sudden movements.
Vorixius. Oh, my God. Natural 2. Well, that's going to be a 8. 7. So he's fine. So he climbs down to Rhapsody. And you're a medium creature or you're a small creature?
Medium. How dare you?
Yeah, so it'll be... I don't know. Skid, what do you want to do here? It's just going to be harder, I guess. You can't just...
I know. I mean, how much do you weigh, Rhapsody, with all your equipment and everything?
Oh, God. I am... Yeah, I couldn't even tell
just
you.
Hit the gear tab.
Yeah, but it'll tell you what you weigh.
It says what you're carrying, though.
I'm carrying 65 pounds, and I weigh 76 pounds.
Okay.
He's got my... Light bird bones.
That's right. Very nice. So it's like roughly 130 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Would that encumber you, Vorixius?
That would be a medium load.
Okay.
For Vorixius.
So just put that on. Give yourself a medium encumbrance, and then if that affects your climb speed or your climb ability at all, then yeah. But otherwise, yeah, he can hang on to you, and you can climb up with him hanging off of you.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not going to affect it enough that it's basically I can fail, but I can't fail by 5 or more. So
okay.
I can't. It'll just take some time, but and that's a 7.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's an 8. So, yeah.
Okay.
He gets back up. Just slower this time.
Okay. So Thorn is watching them across the way. And with just Alfie at her side. And she sees them get to the top safely. They're all safe at the top now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you guys go against the wall like you'd plan to do, that eastern wall?
Yeah, yeah. We all get up against, like, the wall just to...
All right.
Okay.
So,
minimize what people can see.
God, I've got a dumb, possibly stupid idea.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
I can't wait. So here's what we're going to do. So she's like, Alfie, follow my lead. And she pulls out her axe when she sees that you guys are kind of safely against the wall, because what's going through Thorne's head is like, what the hell do we do now? Alfie and I are stranded over here. The bridge is gone. Our friends are over there by themselves. I'm trying to think of a way to get through, but and the bridge fell. Like I would assume they saw or heard this, right?
Well, the waves are loud. Maybe not.
Yeah, the waves
maybe
are really
not.
Loud. You don't see any reaction at this point from anyone in the stockade, so you don't know, but you haven't seen any evidence of it yet.
So Thorn brandishes her axe, and she goes, "You're stranded now, you goblin fucks!" She says, Come on, Alfie! And she runs back into the holes that they were at. What, in case anyone saw or heard something in hopes that they'd tell me lure them after them. Oh,
God.
We immediately hide in the brush.
Yeah, okay. That's why I was waiting until you were hidden. She acts as if she chopped the bridge herself with her axe. So she says that, and like, just anything happened after she screams this.
Okay, so you scream and you grab Alfie and you run back into the briar tunnels. Those of you standing
up. I wait for a second to see after I scream.
Okay. You wait for a second.
I scream and I wait for a second to see if there's any reaction to it.
Okay. Those of you on the other side of what used to be the bridge, just see her. You see her lips move and you think she's shouting something, but it's.
Okay.
You can't really hear anything over the waves.
All right. So she grabs Alfie and they head inside.
Okay.
How the hell are we going to get them across?
I don't know.
I mean, does anyone have a grappling hook with a rope?
I do. I assume I do because I usually always buy that. Yeah, grappling hook and 50 feet of rope.
Well, that won't reach. I have some rope. I have just regular... You know, I have rope with no grappling hook, so we could tie them together and have them swing across.
Yeah, or even tie a rope to the...
Yeah.
Oh God, it's
a mess. We could tie it to our end and try to, do a loop on it and try to, slide ourselves hand over hand. Like I have rope as well. I could tie it, like a makeshift harness on us and slide across the rope to your side.
It is, I think it's 60 feet. It's 60 feet down.
I mean,
no, 80 feet. It's 80 feet down.
Oh, it must be better the two of you just grabbing hands and running and jumping into the ocean, swimming across, and then we'll pull you up. I feel like that's, if all of us work together, we could pull you up, especially with Averxius. You guys just have to make that swim across. Does it look like dangerous water?
I mean, yeah, the waves are rough. They're not like the little channel between Thistletop and the opposite shore is a little calmer. But
I mean, Thorne is not terribly confident about that as an idea. She's got a -2 swim.
Yeah.
I think the other idea that Thorne has now is that she's going to take Alfie back. If I recall, we found a way that we could get down towards that water level. And maybe to try and make our way around the beach level of that area down there to the smallest part of swimming across, rather than taking the damage of a jump into the water and trying to swim across.
Yeah, I was going to say couldn't we theoretically come along the walls to the west and then go down to the beach level skid?
It's just a sheer cliff all the way around this little outcropping here.
But if you jump into the water, you're not going to take any. Well, I don't know. I think you might take 1d6 non-lethal. It's not going to be any significant damage.
No, it's very significant. But if you jumped from 80 feet,
the water.
Ignore the first 1 or 2 d6 or the first 1 or 2 are non-lethal, but then everything else is lethal.
Oh, all right.
So, Alfie, what kind of a swimmer are you?
It's something like that.
First 20 is no damage. The next 20 is non-lethal. Beyond that, it's lethal. So it'd be 4d6 lethal.
Plus 2d6 non-lethal.
Plus 2d6 non-lethal.
Alfie does not know how to swim.
I can't swim. I'm not a strong swimmer.
Okay.
I can doggy paddle.
So I think what Thorne's going to start dragging them back to where they came in. And remind me, there was a place where we saw that we could get down to...
No.
What? No, there was not a...
No, there's you go around the opposite side... Like, you saw that there's a beach down on the western side, but it's still just sheer cliff, all the way around.
You could jump down into the cavern with the,
Yeah, we sure could. We sure could.
Yep.
You don't have any rope on you?
I have rope.
I mean, you could tie it off to a tree and lower yourselves down to the water and do what Troy's suggesting.
I have 50 feet of rope. So I could get us 30 feet away from the ground level.
Let me see what else.
And then do a drop.
Well, here's one. Let's try this theoretically. Theoretically, could Averxius take 50 feet of rope and wrap, just put the coil around him, around his shoulders, climb down the 30 feet of the bridge. Tie the rope to the hanging end of the bridge. Then drop off into the water. Swim to the other side. Climb up the other side. And then pull and hoist the broken part of the bridge back up to the other side. And retie the bridge. Like, is that theoretically possible?
Sure. I mean, the initial plan of throwing the grappling hook across and us doing it to the posts of where the bridge was.
It's not a bad plan. It's just kind of ludicrous, isn't it?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Just tightrope walk?
No.
Throw like 55 feet across a grappling hook? Is that easy? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. That's like half the distance from a pitcher's mound to home plate.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yep. Well, as I'm saying, it's like we tie it off to our end, and then with my rope, like we basically quickly do a makeshift harness of ourselves, and like with a pulley, like or with what do you call it when you like with a pulley,
zip line
kind of thing, but just like
we could try that. It's so dangerous, but
it is.
Yeah.
It is dangerous.
All right, let's just do
less
it.
Dangerous than jumping.
Averxius will take... Does somebody have a grappling hook?
I do.
Yeah, Troy does.
Okay. So Averxius will take a grappling hook and attempt to throw it across. So what is that?
Well, who's got the best ranged attack? The highest dex.
Probably you, right?
Got a plus two.
I'm a plus four on my range.
Yeah, I got a plus four range. Plus two to dex. Here, let me try. If I miss, I can try it again.
Okay.
Natty 18.
So just, whoa! Okay.
And it lands directly in Thorn's thumb.
Ah! Look at him, thumb friend! Oh, how dare you!
Just spurting out into the ocean.
I crit 18 to 20
fantastic.
On
a grapple. So Thorn goes, grabs the rope, ties it to one of the posts that the bridge used to be on.
Oh, how much rope do you have, by the way?
I have 50, but we tied
it to my rope.
Another 50. Okay, all right, plenty of rope.
It's like 100 feet, and then when she saw them getting this stuff ready, she's like, "Oh, okay, something's happening." So she pulled out her rope. She started to like tie a harness. I think she probably has to cut her rope in half so that she can do it for Alfie as well. She kind of makes makeshift harnesses, you know, around both legs, or around around their waist, and like there's a loop that she puts over the rope and then ties it off as best she can, and they're getting ready to pull themselves hand over hand across this fucking rope. She takes a grappling hook with her to bring back to Rhapsody after she secures it and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, and you tie it to the post.
We tie it to one of the posts of the fence or of the bridge.
Okay, so and then you anchor yourselves to the rope with more rope.
Yes, with my rope. Yep,
with your rope.
Okay. I'm trying to think if we have any other metal that we could do, but I think it's the rope is the best, like a few loops on top of it, sort of thing. Do I have anything? Maybe I cut a piece of leather off of something I'm wearing, like to get, just have something that's tougher in there, so that the rope doesn't wear away at itself. I'm trying to think of what else I've got. I mean, I've got my thieves' tools.
I think you're good, man.
All right. So then we start
just go
hand over hand, like Mission Impossible, like hanging from a harness, like trying to get
trying
across
to get
this
some
thing.
Good, like good, terrifying wind going.
Oh, Jesus,
Matthew, what kind of skills, what kind of attributes and skills does Alfie have? Oh, there you go, awesome.
I mean, he's got acrobatics.
Okay,
he's got a pretty decent acrobatics.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a plus three to climb. He's got a pretty decent escape artist.
Okay.
What kind of skills are you looking for?
Well, just for my sake and the audience's sake, just read off his attributes.
Plus seven acrobatics. Plus
no. There's like strength dex, like all that.
Oh, he has a 10 strength, an 18 dex, a 13 con, a 14 intelligence, a 12 wisdom, and a 10 charisma.
Okay. All right.
His charisma is definitely overrated. 7 max.
It's very situational. Amongst his friends, he's very personable. But yeah. With people older than him, he hasn't learned how to kind of bridge that gap yet.
He's a very typical surly teen in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he's very popular in his own social group, but if an adult met him, he would want to kill him immediately, just as you guys want to now. Okay.
Northwood.
As they're, like, starting to make their way across.
Yes, Averxius.
Before that runt reaches the other side, may I offer a suggestion?
Of course.
Discipline starts by getting rid of familiarity. Do not allow him to refer to you as Uncle Binky. He will never respect you. It is Sir or My Lord. From there, you can learn to train him. Anything less, and you will never reach the boy. You can tell he is hopeless.
Well, I shall take your information under advisement, Averxius. Of course, you know, I have a certain weakness for family. My family had certain weaknesses for drink and philandering and profligate spending, but...
Profligacy. You
know, we all have our vices. I allow my family to call me uncle when they are my niece or nephew, and they're
just a suggestion.
Yes, well, I appreciate it. What would you like him to call you?
My lord or sir would do as well.
I shall instruct him to do so.
All right.
Wow. Very telling moment from two adults watching a surly teen try not to die.
Oh, jeez.
So Thorn,
yep.
And Alfie, yeah, she's just like, oh, I don't know about this. This just looks crazy, mate. Oh. But you're able to talk him into it.
Yep. This is nothing. This is the primacy of adventure. Let's do it.
Primacy? Well, all right, now I will do it.
So you guys, you get down like you're with your back hanging over the waves as you like go hand over hand, and like you got your legs like wrapped around the rope.
Yeah, like a harness. Yeah, we tied a harness so like our legs, like from our legs and our waist, and it comes like right from our like belly button up to where we've made a loop around the rope so it can slide as we move our way across.
Okay, so yeah, you're kind of like working your way across, and. You're going first, Thorn?
Yeah, Thorn's going first.
Okay. So, Thorn, you get about 45 feet along.
Oh, geez.
And Alfie is about 20 feet back. And make a perception check.
Okay. It hasn't been 10 minutes since we started this process, or has it? Because I cast my...
Yeah, probably 10 minutes.
All right, so this is, am I out of my spell then, or is it about to run out?
We'll say you're just at the end of your spell.
Okay, so... All right, that is a 20 perception.
Okay. You're just able to hear over the crashing waves this splintering, cracking sound coming from the shore where you just left.
Oh, no.
And if you look, you can see this huge seam, this split going down the middle of the post that you tied your rope to. And you can feel it start to sort of give way.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And then, also at that moment, you hear...
No.
Oh, no. And if you look directly beneath you, you see this row of teeth as this mouth is emerging from the surf. Open, waiting for you to fall into it. And we'll see you next time.
No. Dude, you cannot wait for that.
Oh, no.
That's brutal. Backup character next.
Shoot.
Backup care.
Backup to Matthew's buddy, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I sure need
to have any other nephews.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Legacy of the Ancients is a Glass Cannon Network production of Paizo's Rise of the Runelords Adventure Path. Paizo Pathfinder, their respective logos, and all Paizo titles, characters, and artwork are property of Paizo Inc. and are used with permission. The Glass Cannon Network is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Inc.